tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Alhamdulillah, and I hope wherever you are, whichever part of the world you are watching from, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you in the best of health and iman. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Ameen. Dear viewers, today, alhamdulillah, we are going to discuss a beautiful topic of discussion, and this has to do with our character, with our akhlaq, with our conduct with others. And it is something that can bring in peace and harmony in our lives. Isn't that we all are striving for? And that can only come when we learn to forgive each other for the sake of Allah. Subhanallah. Before we dive into today's topic of discussion, let's extol the virtues of reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that, O people, without doubt, the one to attain salvation quickly on the day of judgment from its horrors and accountability would be the one amongst you who will have recited Salat upon me in abundance in the world. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, the topic of discussion is forgive and forget. Yes, and with that in mind, we have esteemed guest, Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah, who alhamdulillah always adds beauty to this program and the silsila. Jazakullah Sayyidi once again for partaking. Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, this beautiful subject discussion that we have, the forgiveness. Like for example, there are times when we become too hard on people. Let's say somebody did something wrong and they come to us and they ask for forgiveness and we refuse. We said, no, there's no forgiveness for somebody like you. You know, and these kind of things, remarks are thrown at. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did the total opposite. No matter what anybody did, he was ever ready to forgive.
Subhanallah.
Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, and he has narrated that once I was walking alongside the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing a Najrani shawl with thick, rough edges, suddenly a Bedouin, a villager from the blessed Arab land, he got hold of the shawl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and pulled it with such violent jerk that it left a scratch on the blessed neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter he said, order that I be given something from the assets that Allah azza wa jal has given you. And if it was anybody else, the response would be totally abrupt.
Absolutely.
You know, and being the leader, subhanallah, of mankind, Allahu Akbar, the noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned his attention towards him and smiled. He also smiled at him, subhanallah, and ordered that he should be given some goods.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
He does this to someone who disrespects him, who violently pulls his shawl. Allahu Akbar. He had all the authority to put him in his place, but no. This is the code of conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is our duty, Sayyidi, as his ummah? To carry it forward.
Yes.
To emulate that beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to carry it forward, to send it forward.
Yeah, subhanallah, Muhasab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not look at this Bedouin, at this villager in an angry way. Rather, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually smiled at him. You know, this is something so important for us to also take a lesson from, because this smiling of ours, it has a very great impact. You know, it has an impact on an individual, on a person, that when you smile at someone, it certainly softens their heart. And they actually feel more shy and they feel more bad to do more harm towards you. And they will immediately stop. Why? Just because you smiled at that person. So this is something that we should learn as well, that when someone does us any bad or someone does us any harm, then instead of showing angry face to that person, rather we should smile at that person.
Subhanallah. Yes. And this was the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He didn't take revenge from that person. How dare you pull my shawl and so on and so forth. He turned towards him and he smiled at him, and he's also ordered that somebody must give him something, subhanallah, Allah, from the share. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, again he reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever has three things, Allah azza wa jal will take his account on the day of judgment with utmost ease and will enter him in paradise with his mercy. Then the companions, alim of Ridwan, they asked, ya Rasulullah, what are those three things? And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, number one, give those who deprive you. And then number second, he said, establish relations with those who try to break off ties with you. And number third, forgive those who oppress you.
Subhanallah.
You know, this is the code of conduct that we need to have as Muslims, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised. I mean, on the day of judgment, which will be so horrific, even the prophets of Allah, alayhimu salam, they will be in mayhem. And they will be worried about themselves. And here we, as Ummah, what will be our state? But if we want ease in our accountability, then this is the road to go through. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your account with ease, then do this. And inshallah, by the mercy of Allah, you will enter us into paradise. Three things. Let's inshallah once again reiterate it so we can remember it.
Subhanallah.
Give those to who deprive you. And establish relations with those who try to break off ties with you. And number three, forgive those who oppress you.
Subhanallah.
So number one is give those who deprive you. So we need to give to those who deprive us, not only giving those who give us back, but even those who deprive us, we need to give them still. Number second, establish relationship with those who break off ties with you. They are family members who don't want to speak to you anymore. You still go and you call them, you message them, you go and visit them. That is now showing them as to what is the code of conduct that we have been taught from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgive those who oppress you. Generally, we forgive those who forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
And here, yes, we are forgiving those who are oppressing us. Mm-hmm. And that is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the Prophet of mankind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, he has stated that one who wants a palace to be built for him in paradise and his ranks to be raised should give one who oppresses him, should bestow upon the one who deprives him, and keep relations with the one who breaks off relationship with him.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Same message in another hadith. Allahu Akbar. These were the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And say there are many ways of, you know, many codes to live by. And this is the best code to live by. Absolutely. The code of conduct given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's our master. And as slave, as those who recite his kalima, as those who believe in him, as those who, alhamdulillah, take the title of being his ummah,
mm-hmm.
shouldn't we follow the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he has given us?
Absolutely.
Abandoning every other teaching. Because the most perfect human being ever to ever walk the earth is the noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he can teach us how to perfect ourselves as a human being, as an ummati, as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the most devoted servant of Allah. So if we want to devote ourselves in the court of Allah, if we want to fulfill the obligation of our rights towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rights towards our fellow human beings, that is huququl ibad, yes. That is also paramount, subhanallah, because our rights that we have violated somebody's rights. and we are seeking forgiveness in the court of Allah, the forgiveness will not come until we go and ask that person for forgiveness, because we have violated somebody's rights. And only then will Allah forgive us.
And you know, also when it comes to forgiving people, we see that at times ego comes in the way. And because of that ego, because of the status or the rank of a person in society and in the community, then they find it or they feel that, why must I go to that person to ask for forgiveness? Why must I go? I want him to come to me. He must come to me. I would not go to him. This is the attitude that we see nowadays in some people, that they have this kind of attitude. So if one has to get rid of the ego, if one has to, you know, put their status or their rank or their position one side, then they will find it much more easier to forgive, because there is no hidden agenda in there.
Alhamdulillah. Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, very beautiful point you have raised, and inshallah we can discover more about
inshallah.
It. And I have a beautiful narration in mind, which I promise that inshallah I will narrate after we have come back. Right now we have a beautiful zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to listen to the naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together with that. And then we have a beautiful piece of advice and madani pearls of advice, subhanallah. Let's go and listen to this beautiful zikr, kalam and advice. After that, we'll be back shortly. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, 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 Allah. والليل دجى من وفرته الله 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 نطق الحجر سعتي الشجر نطق الحجر شق القمر بإشارته ليلة
جبريل أتى ليلة أسرى والرب دعاه لحضرته. الله 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 الله.
فمحمدنا هو سيدنا فمحمدنا هو سيدنا فالعز لنا بإجابته.
Thawab, hasanat, good deeds. These are the currencies of the akhirah, of the hereafter. There won't be no worldly currencies. It is doing good. It is earning thawab and reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that's going to help one. And this is the currency of the hereafter. These good deeds are going to be weighed against the bad deeds on al-mizan, the balance, the scale. And depending on which side is heavier, then that will determine the destination of that individual. If the good deeds are heavier, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person will enter Jannah. If the evil deeds, bad deeds are heavier, then through the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person will enter into hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our good deeds heavier than our bad ones. So we need to engage in the maximum amount of good deeds in this limited short life. Besides whatever is obligatory upon us, like the 5 daily salahs, fulfilling of each other's rights and other such things, whatever is compulsory, that should be put in its place. Now, over and above this, there's so many other things, simple things that you and I can do in order to earn rewards, which again is the currency of the hereafter. Take for example, the grandfather of Sayyidina Miqdam bin Shurih radiallahu an, Sayyidina Hani radiallahu an, asked the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please tell me of a thing that will guarantee Jannah for me. And listen to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied. He replied, feeding people, spreading salam, and speaking well are acts that guarantee Jannah. Now, tell me we can't do this. Tell me we can't make salam to our household members, to another Muslim, whether I know him or not. Tell me if I have the means, I can't feed people. How many people are starving today? Even if it's one person, you don't have to get a lovely 5-star meal. It's something that can fill their stomach. Do it with the intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the intention of gaining thawab. So yes, we can do this. And yes, we can spread salam and speak well. Speak good things. Avoid obscenities. Avoid vulgarism and swear words. These are not signs of believers and Muslims. From the tongue of a believer, you will hear the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will hear the recitation of salawat and durud pak. You will hear istighfar. You will hear the recitation of the glorious Qur'an. And you'll hear only positive and good words as well. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, such a beautiful rendition of the dhikrullah and the Nati Nabi. Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then on top of that, we got to listen to a beautiful nasiha, subhanallah. And yes, just as we have promised, and after we are back, after listening to the dhikr, the kalam, and obviously the nasiha. And Saysab, you said something before we went for kalam. Okay. That what are the reasons that, you know, one feels reluctant to approach someone or to seek forgiveness?
As I was mentioning earlier, that one of the reasons why a person may feel reluctant into saying, I am sorry first, is that, you know, perhaps it could be ego. Ego may come in the way, or a person's, you know, position or status in society that may also come in a way to tell a person that, you know what, why must you go and say sorry? I mean, you are a person of this caliber. And you want to go by him saying sorry, you're going to be lowering yourself. No, actually, these are the whispers of shaitan, you know, in which sometimes a person falls into that trap that, yeah, man, it's right. You know, I'm a person of this caliber and I have this status, and ego comes in. Why must I go and tell that person sorry? I want him, he must come by me and he must tell me sorry. And then after that, I will see what to do, to the extent that the person will now decide whether I must forgive him or not. You know, this is the society that we're living in nowadays. Mm-hmm. And because of this, we see so many problems that are occurring in the society. So many problems that are within family members, you know, within the family itself, within between siblings, between colleagues, etc. Because of ego and thinking high of oneself, it causes damage to a relationship a person may have with another.
Allah, subhanAllah. So yes, this is what sometimes stops us from seeking forgiveness from someone. You think maybe too much of yourself, mm-hmm. or you think lowly of the others, and you think it's beneath you to go and ask someone to forgive you. Allahu Akbar. But do we know if we adopt humility for the sake of Allah? We are granted elevation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase our level, our station.
And you know, this is only in the sight of people that it apparently seems yes. that you are lowering yourself. But in reality,
yes.
in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person is actually being raised.
And morally too, a big burden is lifted off your shoulder.
Yes, 100%.
That you did your duty to ask for forgiveness, to say sorry. And that guilt is gone now.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. You are spiritually lightened, you know, psychologically, mm-hmm. you are freeing yourself of the burden of carrying this obligation of seeking forgiveness.
Absolutely.
You have done that. You have done your part. It's now for the other person to do his part and forgive you, inshallah, azza wa jal. And if there are those brothers who feel reluctant and who think of themselves, you know, too much of themselves, then this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can really strike. Man tawaza'a lillahi rafa'ahullah. That one who humbles himself for the pleasure of Allah, for the sake of Allah, rafa'ahullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him elevation. And the hadith is that sadaqah does not decrease wealth, and Allah Azza wa Jal increases the status of the one who forgives others.
Subhanallah.
Whoever adopts humility for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is granted elevation by Allah. Subhanallah. And if we think, okay, we shouldn't be the first one to, you know, go ahead to ask for forgiveness, then we must remember this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is not narrated by, you know, just anyone. It is narrated by Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala.
Allahu
Akbar. Which is that hadith? The hadith is, the background of this hadith is that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, and there was some dispute between the two brothers, the two leaders of paradise, subhanAllah, leaders of youth in paradise, Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah, and Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, and he came to the younger brother, Imam Hussein. Imam Hassan is the elder brother, Imam Hussein is the younger brother. So he came to the younger brother and he said to him that, why don't you go and seek forgiveness from your brother? You know, and in this way you can resolve this dispute. So Imam Hussein says to him, yes, I would love to do that. He said, I heard my beloved grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the one to go ahead first to seek forgiveness will be the first to enter Jannah.
Allah.
And I don't want to enter Jannah before my elder brother.
Subhanallah.
I want him to enter Jannah first. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he understood that where he's coming from. He goes to Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala and he says to him that this is what your younger brother says. So he says, yes, my younger brother has spoken the truth. Hmm. And then they come together and reconcile.
Allah.
How beautiful is that, subhanAllah. Is that they would, each one wants the other one to come forward first. Because look at the intention. So he must enter Jannah first.
Allah.
Selfless nature, you know.
Yes.
Real brotherhood, subhanAllah.
That is why Munasab is so important, that, you know, when a person is forgiving, the intention should be purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should not be for any hidden agenda or any self-benefit, that if I forgive him, then I want him to do this for me.
Mm.
You know, when a person forgives, he should forgive wholeheartedly from the bottom of his heart for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, there shouldn't be a ulterior motive to it, right? because then it's not really sincere, let's say. Allah Azza wa Jal knows best the intention of our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity and the truthfulness of intentions. Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyil Ameen. Sayyidina Musa, Kalimullah alayhi salam, he asked Allah Azza wa Jal, "Oh Allah, who is the most dignified one in your court?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that the one who forgives despite having the ability to take revenge.
Allah, Allah.
Not just forgiving. The dignified person in the court of Allah is that person who has the ability to take revenge. You know, let's say for example, somebody comes, a high authority comes and abuses you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, "I forgive you." Because if you wanted to take revenge, you couldn't.
Right.
Because this is beyond you. It's out of your reach.
Right.
So that's not the concern here. Let's say, for example, you are the person of authority. Somebody, just anybody from the street, they come and abuse you. And then, while having the power to take revenge, you say, "You know what? Let me forgive him."
Allah.
Subhanallah. That takes courage.
That takes a lot of inner strength, you know, because at that time it's very easy to take revenge.
Yes.
And to hold yourself back is something difficult, not easy.
Exactly. So this is what's appreciated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
You know, there have been many among our pious predecessors who could take revenge, you know, but they always forgive each other, you know, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they didn't live in this world for the worldly pleasures, for their pride, for their ego. They lived in this world for the sake of Allah.
And they wished well for others as well.
Exactly. Look at the life of Sayyidina Ghawseh Pak, Khwaja Ghaznawi, and other pious predecessors. Look at the life of Amir al-Sunnah himself. Subhanallah. He says that if anyone does anything to me, any wrong to me, I've already forgiven that person.
Allah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Such a spiritual authority. Look at his moral code of conduct. What message should it give to those who, like us, who follow him? Subhanallah. Shouldn't we take that message and make it widespread? Subhanallah. Everyone adopts that policy.
Yes, especially
to forgive and forget.
To teach it to our children as well.
Exactly.
You know, because at times, what we see, the child would come home and maybe complain to the parents, "Oh, mommy or daddy, this boy hit me, this girl hit me." And at times, some parents may say, "He hit you, go hit him back tomorrow." So it's teaching the child, you know, that you're teaching the child that you must take revenge. Rather, the approach should be different. You know, teach the child to be forgiving, to be tolerant, you know, to be patient and to deal with these matters properly. And from a young age, if a child is brought up in this way, then it will be, you know, easy for him as he grows up in life.
Inshallah. Yes, these are the development phases, Sidi, where we can really mold our children, our loved ones, and, you know, those who are under our care, those who we are morally responsible to teach them the Islamic ethics and the Islamic values. Subhanallah. Yes, and this should be the way. I mean, in the family, sometimes it may happen that, you know, brothers are not on talking terms,
right.
Aunts, uncles, and so on and so forth. And we should be the ones. And never mind, my nephew is not talking to me. Being an uncle, I can lower myself.
Yes.
And it doesn't hurt my ego.
Right?
And I can pick up the phone and call him. Assalamu alaikum, it's been a long time. Right? And then the conversation starts like that. And all the differences are put aside. And he himself will feel ashamed. Okay, my uncle had to call me and he had to apologize. I should have been the one. Okay, whatever that comes, right?
Right.
We shouldn't look at that. The key factor is that the dispute was resolved and the loved ones came together.
Yes, that's the bottom line.
Yes, that's what matters. How it happens is beyond the scope of this discussion. Subhanallah. So yes, alhamdulillah. But then, Sayyidi, there are times where we might forgive somebody, but we still are holding grudges.
Mm.
Like for example, you say to someone, you know, somebody came to you and sought sincere apology. Apologize sincerely. You're not just showing off, not just, you know, being formal, you know, "I seek your forgiveness" in this kind of tone, but they really are remorseful for whatever wrong they have done, and they come to you. They tell you that, you know, they are sorry for whatever they've done. Instead of that, you know, some of us are not really eager to forgive. But then again, when we do forgive and we say, right, okay, well, leave whatever happened, it's all in the past, inshallah, then we should move on from here onwards. I forgive you for the sake of Allah. And sometimes this type of forgiveness is just a lip service. Because then the same person who forgives, right, the same person may, you know, after 2-3 days may remind that person, remember what you did to me? I haven't forgotten. I'll never forget what you did to me. You did this, you did this, you did this wrong, you did that wrong to me. Allahu Akbar. And what does it mean when somebody says that? He's still holding grudge. And that means that person hasn't forgiven you.
This is, you know, it's for a person's mental health. Yes. It's not actually healthy.
Yes.
You know, because keeping things inside you, holding grudges and bottling things up for the mental health is not healthy, because what will happen is you would always keep that incident in your mind. You would hold on to it and then you wouldn't be able to move forward. You know, and everything around you, you would be afraid to be in contact with people. You know, you wouldn't be, your attitude towards people would be different because of what you experienced in the past, and you wouldn't want it to be repeated. And that comes down to keeping it all bottled up and inside. Whereas if a person has to let it out, you know, and be forgiving, that's for their own benefit.
Yes.
It's not that you are lowering yourself or putting yourself down. No, it's actually for your own benefit that you have that ability to forgive. It's for your own well-being, for your own mental health, because this will actually allow you to have a happy life, you know, to have a life of contentment and peace and tranquility, etc. So this is also important, not to hold grudges and, you know, keep it all inside. Rather, it should be let out and be forgiven towards a person.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. And, you know, there shouldn't be any clauses attached to it. Mm-hmm. You know what, I forgive you on this condition or on that condition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because love is not bound by conditions, right?
Yes.
And one, peace and harmony only comes when you are showing and you are expressing your concerns and your love for the next person, right? By being selfless.
Right.
By not holding back on something. But you are being forgiving, and other person also understands where you're coming from. Alhamdulillah. And in this way, a new chapter can be started instead of being stuck in the past. And many of us are the prisoners of the past.
Yes.
But we can't forget certain things. Sometimes naturally, yes, it may happen that, you know, something naturally is so disturbing in nature that it just creeps up in your mind every now and again.
Right.
But that's just naturally how things happen.
Yes.
You have no control over it. It's not like you were bottling it up, you were harboring all that malice, jealousy and all that grudges. But it happened some times ago, and maybe the incident was so severe that you couldn't really take it out of your mind. And it creeps up every now and again. That is fine. That is like natural way of, you know, things resurfacing in your mind. And there are ways to channel your emotions. Alhamdulillah, Islam teaches us emotional intelligence as well. So in this way, we can really form a beautiful, peaceful home. And at the same time, our society can be peaceful. We can be at peace with our neighbors, you know, who we may not have seen eye to eye. And if we have certain brothers and sisters, our loved ones, people in our society, in our people in our relationships, that we are not in talking terms, and there is animosity, there is anger, a lot of resentments, you know, from both sides. So from either side, then inshallah, Azzawajal, now it is about time that we just pick up the phone. Nowadays is easier than ever.
Yes,
there's no need to, you know, buy the posting stamps and go buy an envelope, then take one, you know, A4 size paper, then start writing your whole letter, and then envelope it, put the sticker, then go to the post office, post it, and then after that, after some time, it will reach the other person. No more, alhamdulillah, instant messaging.
Alhamdulillah.
Right. You send the message, now next second it will appear. It doesn't even take a second, milliseconds it takes for the message to appear on the other side. No problem, you are feeling extra enthusiastic, you can make a call. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this muhabbat between the brothers. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. So yes, it doesn't even take even 1 minute to end a dispute. But we'll carry on for years and years bottling it up.
No, a person actually doesn't lose anything by forgiving.
Exactly.
The person actually
by asking for forgiveness.
Yes. The person actually gains in both the cases.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. There is a beautiful narration, Sayyidi. The companion Sayyidina Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever is not merciful to others will not receive mercy. Whoever is not merciful to others will not receive mercy. And whoever does not forgive will not be forgiven.
Allah.
Who doesn't want to receive mercy? Who doesn't want to be forgiven? But if we haven't done it ourselves, we don't do it, but we expect it from everyone.
We have to actually think, you know, Masab, that people may cause us harm, right? And at times, a person may find it very, very difficult to forgive. Like if a mountain load, you know, that how can I forgive this person? He did this to me and he did that to me. We have to, you know, think to ourselves that we are human beings and we commit sins, you know. If we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whether it's in private, whether it's in public, you know, we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so forgiving that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still forgives us. And if we want to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also need to forgive those who do wrong to us. For to those who cause harm to us, we also need to be merciful towards them and also be forgiving towards such people as well.
Subhanallah. Sayyidi, it reminds us of, you know, the noble conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has pioneered the akhlaq and the moral character. And he has given us a beautiful character, subhanallah, to emulate, to follow, the example to follow. Because who is the most supreme in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we want to reach those heights, we need to follow the one who is the highest among the creation, subhanallah, that is the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at his forbearance, his tolerance and his forgiveness. You know, at times when cruelty has reached a certain peak, we find it very difficult. You know, there are levels. Like if somebody wronged you in such a way, then perhaps somebody stole something from you. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they slapped you. Or perhaps, you know, they swore at you. Mm-hmm. And these are the things, like lighter level things. Then it may escalate to very like deep level stuff, such as, you know, somebody stabbed you with a knife. And then it can escalate like that. Somebody shot an arrow at you deliberately. Somebody shot you. So these are the things. These are the now dangerous territories that we are entering.
Right.
In this kind of situation, we find ourselves very hard to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost unheard of, such level of forgiveness. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sets an example.
Mm-hmm.
And in the battle of Uhud, when the arrows were shot at him, and the arrow pierced his Mubarak cheek.
Allah.
And it started bleeding non-stop.
Allah.
Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's washing the wound with the water. Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anhu, she burnt a mat that was there, and by using the ashes from there, she's trying to stop the bleeding.
Mm.
And in this state, those who did this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma hadi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. They didn't come and ask for forgiveness. He is forgiving by himself.
Allah.
Subhanallah. And he is giving them the benefit of doubt. Allahu Akbar. This is how he made dua and he forgave his ardent enemies, sworn enemies in the battle of Uhud. Allahu Akbar. This is the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his forgiveness.
You know, there's also, if someone has to do us wrong, if someone has to harm us in some way, then our duty and what our reaction should be is to not retaliate in the same way, number one, and also to make dua for the guidance of that person.
Yes.
Not to curse that person, not to swear back at that person, but to make dua for guidance for that person. Because by you making dua for guidance for that person's life may change because of you.
And the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidi, they were inspired by the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there were many incidents where the Sahaba were sworn at. And somebody is swearing somebody with vulgar words and using foul language. And in return, they are making dua.
Allah.
SubhanAllah. Such incidents have been reported
from
the Sahaba ikram, that people are using swear words and in return, they are giving back duas.
Allah.
SubhanAllah. Where do you get such people? Allahu, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness for their sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi. Ameen. Sayyidi, there is a beautiful narration where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given glad tidings for those who forgive, right? First of all, among the people who will enter paradise, there are very few that will enter paradise without accountability. I mean, there are so many processes to go through on the day of judgment. The accounts will be taken from each and everyone. The mizan will be there. Good and bad will be weighed. That is accountability.
Right.
And some people will be perspiring to the extent that they'll be covered in their own perspiration right till their neck and according to their level of worries that they'll have. And subhanAllah, on that day, each one will be, you know, nafsi, nafsi. Worried about themselves. And in this state, there will be some of those Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will be taken to paradise without accountability.
SubhanAllah.
Look at what a burden is lifted off their shoulders. And who will be these people? Let's inshallah learn from this beautiful hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it will be announced on the day of judgment that whoever has his reward with Allah's mercy, let him stand up and enter paradise.
Subhanallah.
It will be asked, who has this reward? The announcer will reply, those who forgive.
Allah.
Then thousands of people will stand up and enter paradise without accountability.
Allah.
Who are those people who will be given this privilege? Those who forgive. SubhanAllah. It is explicitly mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yes, if we are in the habit to forgive, then we must know we could be among those that will be granted paradise without accountability. Inshallah, ameen. Bijahin Nabi, ameen. Sayyidi, there were other accounts, like for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgiving his nation, those people who wronged him. In the pages of Sirah and the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Also, we know if you look at when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam Fath Makkah, at that time there were so many people there that caused harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you know killed one of the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at that juncture, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew what they all had done.
Yeah,
but still, exactly. At that point in time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave each and everyone.
SubhanAllah.
Despite the harm that they did.
SubhanAllah. So this is the lesson that we learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The world bore witness, Allahu Akbar. And he set an example for the generations to come. SubhanAllah. Allah. Until the day of judgment, such a spectacle of mercy and forgiveness will never be seen ever. That was displayed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. InshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to follow into the footsteps of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sunnah. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Lamin. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.